up, everybody? I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
And that's our man in the booth, Boothman. Oh, my goodness, you guys. Now, we talked about this.
That's the way we do it, abruptly.
I'm sorry, I'll never mention talking about things again. I really apologize, guys. Last week on the show, we talked about this a little bit, but we just passed 100,000 downloads.
That's a benchmark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that a catchphrase? That's a benchmark?
That's been my catchphrase for a long time.
Yeah, that's a good catchphrase.
You really, really like us.
Yes. So we passed 100,000 downloads last week on the show. We gave away a bunch of stuff right at the top of the show in celebration. Later on in the show, we're going to give away 50 comics from Justin Tyler's personal collection.
Like my private stock.
Ooh.
Yes, it's real good.
Shit, you don't
it's been aging
about.
Since 2011.
It's fine. It's really oaky. Oaky.
There's some old man Logans in there, which I can't believe you're giving away.
Wasn't into it.
But right at the top, we're gonna start this off the right way. We're gonna give away a couple of comics, graphic novels right at the top. We're going to do it the same way we did it last week.
The most fair way.
The most fair way, which is first person to raise their hand. Yeah. That guy right there. Congratulations.
First hand up guy.
You get an Ultimate Spider-Man Volume 2. That's pretty awesome. Now, how should we give away this second graphic novel right here at the top is next person to raise their hand. That guy over there. Awesome.
Yeah, if your arms are crossed, it's really going to hinder you, sir. Uncross your arms, guys.
This that was in the email. That was the subject line of the email that we sent out promoting the show was don't cross your arms. No
we
other
like to
information.
Say keep your
don't
hands half up at all times.
Yeah. All right. Now, let's get third person to raise their hand.
Oh, we have more.
All right.
Would you see? You, sir, are going to get a $25 gift certificate to Midtown Comics.
That's a much better prize. Let's be honest.
Well, there you go. Guys, we're going to have plenty more prizes
so
and
we
excitement.
Can either talk about comics or just keep doing this. What do you guys think?
You know what? Let's talk comics.
Oh, talk!
talk. Nice. Talk. You guys love talking. I'm also very excited to talk to the guests that we have on the show. We have them back for probably the millionth time, I think. One of them you recently saw on Conan, and the other one is the writer of Amazing Spider-Man. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Lawrence and Dan Slott! Welcome them to the stage. Here they come. Okay. Yeah. Welcome, guys. Welcome. Come, sit down. Mike,
this is a bar table.
Whichever. Guys, welcome back to the show. We're very excited to have both of you back here.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Wow, you are loud.
Yeah, I told you. Yeah.
Off stage, I told them to please hold up their mics as close to their face as they possibly can. And they're like, we're actors. We know what we're doing.
That's a little fun behind the scenes for you guys.
With but one word, I could tremble mountains. Yeah.
Mike, nice shirt, by the way.
Thanks. Yeah,
For those of you listening at home,
Avengers 277.
Yeah. Is that the end of Under Siege?
Yes, it is. Yeah. That's when they defeat Tommy Lee Jones and Gary Busey. It's fucking awesome.
I don't think that's possible to defeat both of them at the same time.
No, you can never truly kill Gary Busey. He's immortal.
I don't know. His career's doing a good job of putting him in the ground right now.
Oh, come
me
on.
Me out. Wow. I thought this was a Jake Busey crowd. I guess not.
There's a good chance he's in Chinatown doing something terribly wrong and hearing this right now.
Yeah.
What the fuck did you say about me,
he
Justin?
He drops to the ceiling and murders me.
He just shows up in a hobgoblin costume. Like,
that he was wearing.
I was just naturally
he was
no
just
one
wearing
knew who
it,
I was supposed to be for 20 years.
So you're saying Avengers, seeing the movie, that was the happiest moment of your life?
Yeah. I feel like the way that black people must have felt when apartheid ended is how I felt. It's okay. It's a good feeling.
Like, did you mean black people in Africa?
Like the moment, the way they feel when Tyler Perry finally dies is how I feel.
That's great. I thought Avengers was the opposite of Auschwitz.
Also acceptable.
Yeah. Technically, it's still a good thing to say. So.
Yeah, sure. No, it was incredible. I mean, fuck it, all the shit that we put ourselves through over the years,
Elektra.
From Daredevil to Elektra. Yeah, I mean, my eyes were still bleeding
that,
from Ghost Rider to.
Would you say that Ghost Rider was like our Auschwitz?
Oh. What are you doing?
It is because I've tried to forget and I can't.
Yeah.
I think it's more of like a Khmer Rouge.
Kind of. Oh, nice.
Nicolas Cage deserves his own memorial wall, I think, at this point.
Just his portrayal.
This isn't going up on YouTube anymore. Right?
No. No. It goes directly to Google.com.
Good, good. Yep.
That's a popular website. All right, we're going to move on, I think, from talking this, talk to Dan a little bit about Amazing Spider-Man. So you just finished the Ends of the Earth storyline.
Yes.
Yeah, so big ending, big finish. Can you talk a little bit about what went into that storyline? And how
Spider-Man won.
Yay!
Oh, nice.
But he kind of lost a little bit, too, right?
There's this one website that ran, because we put out these press releases promoting like the next story and the next thing, and most sites just run them verbatim that Marvel gave them. You know, it's great reporting, just run it. One site chose to run our verbatim press release as a shocking spoiler that the Lizard story ruins the ending of Ends of the Earth because Spider-Man must win.
Oh,
yeah. Like, amazing.
Oh, man, 50 years of storytelling, and you cracked it.
That's like when someone gave away X-Men First Class. Remember the ending when the guy who controls metal for 2 hours looks into the camera and says, "They call me Magneto"? Someone gave that away. That's supposed to be a surprise.
Twist.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I was curious about Doc Ock's plan in there. For those of you guys who didn't read it, Ends of the Earth was great.
Really, it really was.
Storyline. Doc Ock has this plan where he's sending up satellites that may either reconstruct the ozone layer, basically.
Yeah, it's either going to fix the ozone layer or it's like the ultimate magnifying glass and we're all ants. And he's just going to fry us off the earth. And no one knows which way he's going to go. He's dying. He's been dying since Amazing 600. It's a long time. Whoa. And
can you guys hear me if I just talk like this without the mic?
Oh, you got to talk with the mic.
Yeah.
Oh, for the podcast.
Yes.
Oh, man, so all the Auschwitz stuff is going online.
Yeah. No, don't worry. You look like the good guy in that.
Yeah.
Dan Slott won.
Dan Slott won the Holocaust, I think we were saying.
No, you don't understand. My family has this weird kind of it's not quite Goodwin's Law when we were growing up, where it's I was told, like, there was very few shows I was forbidden to watch as a kid. I was allowed to watch Tom and Jerry, but not Three Stooges because that was real people.
Yeah, it's a fine line.
And then the other big show I wasn't allowed to watch was Hogan's Heroes because Nazis aren't funny. They're meant to be feared. That was the rule. And then I remember watching the producers with my folks, and they were laughing their asses off. And I was, mixed message. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, Nazis are a weird thing with my family.
See, anyway, my family's like really into just Nazi shit all the time. So, like, I don't understand
Jewish,
that.
So we know exactly where we stand with that.
Yeah.
Before you got off on a Nazi rant, you were telling us about Spider-Man and Doc Ock. You were in the middle.
Your family's like, we only like Nazis if they're made of bees. Then they are okay.
Oh, did
everyone get the Von Meyer reference?
Yeah.
Everyone? Everyone?
Yeah. Everyone agrees. Everybody is not.
Everyone definitely gets that reference.
Oh, okay.
The thing that I was curious about
playing to the 2%
is I thought you did a really nice job of playing it both ways pretty much the entire time.
Yep.
Did you have a decision in your mind before you got into the storyline?
No, he was always doing this for evil. Mm-hmm. Evil.
But it was a fun twist.
This is fun. Evil.
Oh, now you like the microphone.
Yeah. Love the microphone.
But it was a fun twist of like which superheroes are going to believe what. And where they're going to land in this whole thing. And, you know, Spider-Man had to be, like, you know, fighting his own friends for a little bit. So it was a fun twist of, like, is Spider-Man the asshole? And is he stopping, you know, like, Doc Ock from saving us? Or is it...
All good Spider-Man stories make you ask that.
Is Spider-Man an asshole?
Yeah.
You know.
Wow, I've never thought that.
Yes, myth or menace, hero or asshole is the original logo.
Oh,
that
nice. I was thinking it's more like, I mean, every Batman story is like that. Like Spider-Man, you're like, you always root for him, but Batman always comes off like a dick. Like, just back to the crazy house with the other crazies.
Batman is the 1% that beats up the 99%.
Oh, yeah, he totally is.
And that's why Spider-Man is cool, because he's in the 99%.
The burn victim who holds on to the piece of change because it makes choices for him. Yeah. Let's punch that guy again.
Wow.
So end of
alternate take.
End of Ends of the Earth. This is a little bit of a spoiler.
I'm going to let these kids die for me.
little bit of a spoiler, if you don't mind talking about this. Ends of the Earth, the very last page, one of Justin's favorite characters, or...
I can't believe, after all the compliments I gave you, like, thank you for finally including Silver Sable, my childhood crush, and you murdered her.
Well, technically, again, it was the Rhino.
I know who's under the mask in Rhino. It's you.
Yes.
It's Slot running down hot ladies.
With my horn.
That got weird. That got weird.
That did. That got horribly weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like the Rhino in continuity. You could put me in anything, and I always work.
He does.
I was looking for all these double entendres.
Yeah, I thought for sure you were going to say something fucked up. But instead.
I was complimenting the Rhino. You could put him in a Hulk book. You could put him in an Avengers book. He always belongs.
Hey, I'm like Spider-Man. He's a really good character.
Yeah. Nice. Great burn. Great slam.
This week we actually have the Ends of the Earth epilogue coming out, which will be a flashback Silver Sable story.
There you go, buddy.
And it will.
Shut up.
And it will also have a bookend sequence, which is the epilogue to Ends of the Earth, which will answer some Silver Sable questions or raise more.
Oh, jeez.
Why are we always raising more?
Here's my question. Why'd you choose Silver Sable for this storyline to begin with?
Because Mark Waid took away Black Cat.
Ooh. Oh. So she's a runner-up and you murdered her?
Yes. No, because originally we had plans, because you can even see it we did these... this two-page sequence, which flash-forwarded to what was coming up for the year. And you could see in the Ends of the Earth shots, Agent Venom and Black Cat were on the shot.
Right.
And then suddenly they weren't there, and Black Widow and Silver Sable were. And that's because we had some meetings, and we discussed, ooh, what are we going to do with Daredevil? Let's do a crossover. Can we make Black Cat the love interest for Daredevil for a while?
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, this could be cool. And we started playing around with that story, and then I started moving Silver Sable into Ends of the Earth. Hmm. And then we're at our previous retreat. And Mark Waid comes up to me and he's like, yeah, you know, Black Cat isn't really working in Daredevil. Do you want her back? Can you? And like, we have 3 issues of Ends of the Earth in the drawer now. You bastard.
Proper. Yeah. I have one last question about that.
Mark
Do you
Waid.
Think, like, since you've written her, you think a guy like me could have a chance with her? Or, like, what's the deal?
Now that she's dead, yes.
Oh.
What?
I'm not the dark guy anymore.
Yeah.
it depends. You could help her hunt Nazis.
Yeah.
That's what Silver Sable does.
I don't know if I'd be much help in that department, but all right.
Let's talk about the next storyline that's coming up. Spider-Man versus the Lizard, coincidentally timed for the movie.
Coincidentally?
Yes. Mark Webb called me up. He said, we're looking for a villain. I said, you know, we are using the Lizard those months. So... see if you can incorporate it. Do some last-minute changes.
Oh, so what are we going to see coming up in that storyline? Spider-Man.
During the last big Spider-Man story, Shed, there was a brief appearance elsewhere in a story we did called Origin of the Species, but it was just a really quick little run-in. The last big fight they had was in Shed, and during that story, the Lizard, to sever... Kurt Connor's psyche to crush it once and for all so that only the Lizard remained. He killed Kurt Connor's son, ate him.
Dude,
is it Billy?
Yeah. Billy is just. Oh,
if he said another name, he'd be like, yeah, that guy's an asshole.
Yeah.
Not Billy.
So there's always been this feeling that now Kurt Connor's is truly dead. And this is a story of seeing, can we bring Kurt Connor's back? And he appears on the cover, so the answer is yes.
Wow, major
shocking
spoiler.
Yeah, I know.
It's such a sense that the dude lost his arm defending the country and just wanted to bring it back.
Just
now he's a monster.
One of the things I'm really happy about with every single issue of No Turning Back, I get this note from Steve Wacker that goes, I don't think we can do this in a Spider-Man comic.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's really messed up.
And then he's like, no, seriously, take out that crazy shit. Like, you're sick.
The first two issues have left, and all that crazy stuff is still in there. Yeah. So it's
Spider-Man, the way you've written it, has always has been pretty all ages. I mean, do you worry about pushing the envelope a little bit?
Yeah, any kid can read about another child being eaten.
Well, that was Zeb Wells.
Huh?
That was Zeb Wells eating children. But I was on the meetings for that. We're all like, yeah, that would be awesome. Eat that kid. If it was the 90s, there'd be a special kid-eating variant cover. Hologram.
Yeah.
Flavored. It's a flavored cover.
I think Todd McFarlane just smiled somewhere.
But, yeah, no, this feels like the closest I've come to doing, like, something very Arkham again. Going back to, like, my Arkham Asylum Living Hell stuff. There's some grossness in there. But when I remember being a kid and reading Fleischer Apero's Spectres.
Oh, my God.
And they're messed up, but they're messed up in very imaginative ways. So it's when you think of all the major superhero comics that we love, there's some pretty messed up stuff that happens in them. Uncle Ben gets shot. The Waynes are shot down in front of the little boy, you know, Bruce. An entire planet of people blows up. That there's stuff you can do that I think we can't, think of the children. Children are tougher than you give them credit for. And it's okay to have macabre. It's okay to have, and look at the original Grimm's Fairy Tales. It's okay to have truly messed up stuff in there if it's done with a sense of imagination and not just for the sense of shock or things to traumatize people. If you're able to keep it between the gutters of the comic and in the imagination. Like, there is a note that I recently gave to Camo, Giuseppe Camicoli, who is killing it on this art. And, I haven't slept in 2 days because I just got the script in for issue part three. But one of the things that just psyched me up is looking at the art. It's just like, yeah, we have Klaus Janson doing the inks.
Awesome.
It's so sweet. And there's this one page where you open on Shadowland, and there's Kingpin, you know, and it's... It's Klaus Janson Kingpin working out.
I will never be that happy about anything in my life.
No,
that was such a nice giggle you just had.
No, but he's working out and he's beating up ninjas for his morning workout. It's fat Kingpin beating up ninjas. And I'm like, oh, this is the best. This is awesome.
They always do that scene. Don't you just want that? There's always the Kingpin working out and beating up dudes. See, why not have the twist of just one time, like a dude just hitting him in the nuts or something? Like, just to make it a little... It's always the same.
That's
I want to see him eating. Eating and eating. That makes more sense.
Why doesn't Kurt Connors have more children? I'm hungry.
Just Kingpin at, like, a CC's Pizza.
Yeah, just, like really going crazy. Because he works out so much, he doesn't lose any weight.
But I think you could do that scene with the guy punching that, and like he like spits up a little blood, and then like next issue, that guy's head's in a box.
Yeah,
it would be awesome.
One of the best stories ever, Severance Package. It's so good where the guy he gets caught by Spider-Man, and then he knows that he's gonna die, and it's just him.
Spider-Man Tangled Web.
That was such a great comic. Series. Yeah.
They had the Flowers for Algernon Rhino story.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
The Bar with No Name story was great.
The story with the kids watching Spider-Man on TV with that gorgeous art when Electro destroys the building.
Is that Care Andrews?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
What a bunch of dorks.
You guys What really made the series wonderful was it was edited by Axel Alonso.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. The thing is, I haven't seen my dad in 2 years, but this is better than that anyway.
Yeah, happy Father's Day.
He's actually looked me in the eyes during this, so that's and he hasn't drank too much, so this has been awesome.
Did you see the sucking up I did that'll go online? That was great.
There's another thing that's been teased recently, and I know you can say literally nothing about it, I'm sure, but what is Alpha? What is Alpha?
What is Alpha? I actually get to do an interview with a news outlet tomorrow for one of those news stories that'll leak the day before you read the comic, and you go, no!
Which one? Reader's Digest.
Yes!
Highlights. Is it Highlights?
It's Guns and Ammo.
Yeah, they've gotten a lot of comic coverage.
Totally. No, it's a red book. But we're gonna spill the beans on who what Alpha is. But the core idea behind Alpha that I can't talk about what Alpha is, but the idea behind it is we're doing the 50th anniversary issue of Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And wanted to do a story that mined Amazing Fantasy 15 for an aspect, something that went back to the first part is called Point of Origin. So we wanted to mine that for a story that would give resonance to the 50th anniversary issue. So this is that.
So wow. Did you retcon it so that Sandman actually shot Uncle Ben?
Yes.
That's a great idea.
From the carjacked car. No. And they sang.
Those groans were so genuine, right? Oh.
Now, actually, on that note, have you seen Amazing Spider-Man? Have you seen the movie yet?
I have not seen the movie. We're going to see a screener soon, right? Yeah, next week. Okay. After the retreat.
That's a Hollywood producer.
I got to tell you. Next week, you'll be there.
Yeah, I'll take you.
But Mark Webb follows my Twitter feed.
That's pretty exciting.
Wow. Cool. That was medium excitement. Oh. Now,
I've only seen the trailers and everything, but I got to tell you, I was a little turned off by these.
I've been purposely avoiding all trailers. I've been
really
avoiding everything. I want to go into the theater and watch the damn movie.
I heard Spider-Man wins.
Yeah. No!
Yeah, they totally ripped off your idea.
Yeah. No, well, if you haven't seen the trailers, I have no questions for you.
Yay! but like I said, we knew the lizard was going to be in the movie, so we were like, oh, let's do a lizard story and take advantage of these millions of dollars of free advertising.
Nice. Well, in the trailer, the lizard talks a lot about not reading your comic, so you should watch it.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's really weird. Mark Webb must hate you.
You guys could totally mess with me right now. You'd be like, and then the terrible Tinkerer makes a cameo.
Yeah.
Ooh, the Tinkerer!
Okay, now I see where he's coming from.
I do have one more question for you. There's been a lot of talks about creators' rights and things like that going on the past couple of weeks.
Creators can suck it.
Cool.
Oh, great.
That's what I wanted to say.
It says that on the front of every Before Watchmen comic.
Company man!
Well, I was curious. You had one creator-owned book, right?
Yes.
But other than that, you've worked for DC or Marvel pretty much your entire career.
Yeah, Archie, everybody.
Yeah, what's your
Top
opinion
cow.
On everything that's going on?
My opinion is really simple. Like, I was having an online conversation with Jimmy Palmiotti and Colleen Doran, and Eric Larson popped up to join in, and I threw him a quick elbow as a way to kind of go, don't even, because I love Eric. He's been a really big supporter of Amazing with me and Umberto, but he jumped in going, oh, I think every creator should own everything, and blah, blah, blah. And I just kind of went like, Neil did with Image and Spawn, and that was my way of kind of going, okay, we're just talking over here. And he took it as bait, and it just got ugly. Got really ugly. Because Neil Gaiman popped up and went, oh, is that so, Eric Larson?
Appeared?
Yeah, like, it was like Beetlejuice.
Wow.
Well, you said his name three times.
Yeah,
right?
In a mirror. It was great.
Candyman.
I said Neil Gaiman's name three times, and Gary Busey showed up. So.
No!
He would have showed up no matter what you said. He was just going to show up.
I was going to be like, cosplayed as Neil Gaiman's death.
Gary Busey's nickname is The Endless, so it makes sense.
All right, guys. We're going to move on with our next section.
The key point I made...
On,
stop it! I love you,
sorry,
Boothman.
Enforcer, Boothman.
No, but the key point I ended up making with Eric, and we came to an agreement, is that, creator rights, great, wonderful, but he wouldn't have the audience he has on Savage Dragon if he didn't have the soapbox of Amazing Spider-Man. That you get to work on these classic legacy characters, and people come to see the Marvel characters, to see the DC characters, and then they get to know the creators, and then they follow them onto their creator-owned work. Mm. So there's pluses and minuses for everything. There's no black hats and white hats. But I'll have these moments where, co-created with Steve McNiven, Mr. Negative, and he became a mini-mate. And I was like, oh, do I get money from that? I'm like, well, there's a clause that says if the action figure is under 6 inches. I was like, what the heck? Yeah.
That's why they don't do regular size mates.
Yes. And I remember we were at some...
Must be infuriating, right? A little bit.
No, because I hate to say it. There's, and I'm saying this because I'm not 60 yet and bitter. But there's
you'll get there.
I'll get there. but there is that neat feeling of I'm buying a crate of this and look, it's my guy.
Yeah.
But there is like this moment at one of the retreats where Joe Quesada was walking us through all this stuff that was going to be in Earth's Mightiest Heroes and all these new shows that were coming up and Superhero Squad. And he's oh great, and they all love this one thing we had. The Big House, this prison where they shrink all the villains, and that's going to be in this show, and that's going to be in this show, and it might you know might make an action figure set or something. I'm like, oh, wait, I created that in She-Hulk. That's like my thing. I'm like, oh yeah, see, and I'm like, do I get any money from that? And without before the words were out of my mouth, like, do I get any money from that? Both Quesada and Buckley in unison went, no.
and then the ghost of Bill Finger was like, yeah, it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but the thing was, I immediately cracked up because I knew that had to be the answer.
That was like the one of the like saddest like Silver Age stories I ever heard was, I don't remember which creator it was, but either Siegel or Schuster at the premiere of It's a Bird, It's a Plane, the Superman musical, they were outside begging for money so they could go in and see the musical.
Oh, that's terrifying.
I hope that's really? Not you outside of Turn Off the Dark. No, like, no, come no. on, please.
Turn Off. They just had me as a guest for the anniversary of the new version. And I was there for the premiere where they had me on top of the Spider-Man bus, like leading a rousing crowd of Spider fans who got special tickets to be on the bus.
That's
and then
nice.
They all got Oprah'd. You get to see the show, and you get to see the show. We all went in, and I was there with the Marvel's social coordinator, network person, tweeting person. Mm. Wait, what's Jana's title?
Digital coordinator,
something like that. And we were like on top of the bus and like yay and tweeting and Facebooking.
You need to get the seat in the bus though.
Yeah,
I think that's where
dangerous.
You want to sit.
Oh no, because we were on top of the bus because they were treating it like the bleachers. For as all the stars, like, oh, Spike Lee, Cindy Crawford, you know, Harry Belafonte.
Yeah, all the popular stars in today's media.
Oh, no.
Cindy Crawford and Harry Belafonte.
No, but they had, like...
He's been writing Silver Sable for you, all right? Show some gratitude.
No, there was, like, Steve Martin. There was, like, lots of, you know...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all those young stars.
But the coolest thing was...
There was Carnage, Bizarnage, all the stars.
I helped create Bizarnage.
I love you so much right now.
one of the things that we had.
Did you come up with the name?
Yes, the flaky. the flaky.
Wait, what would we do if we put Carnage and Bizarro together? Bizarnage!
Bizarnage! Yeah. I pitched it. I was like, the flaky white symbiote goes, me want to eat your brain.
Which Flash Thompson was the flaky white symbiote?
That was good.
Thank you.
That was very good. This is like one of the best Spider-Man experiences of my life. I go to see the show, and for me, it was like the fourth time I was seeing it when they had the premiere. And up comes the limo, and Bill Clinton and Chelsea get out, and they're going to go see the show. Yeah, and every star who was there, from like Jay-Z to everyone wanted to meet Bill Clinton. He was suddenly like the rock star at Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark. And he was so cool. He kind of like quickly walks by all the celebrities and immediately goes and shakes hands and all the servicemen who are invited. So it's like, yay, Bill. One of the things that happened during that show is you could see it. Bono switched seats so he could sit next to Clinton. And
oh, man.
They, when Jana and I got
who did he kick out?
I don't know. Chelsea?
I'm Bono.
But. Yeah.
Edge, switch seats with me.
But the cool thing was they told Jana and I, when we're coming, like, we're really sorry. We didn't have good seats to give you. And they totally lied. And we had this balcony box seat looking right over Bill Clinton and Bono. So, like, the coolest moment for me is, like, the Green Goblin and Spider-Man are swinging over Clinton's head. And he's like, look at that.
Yeah.
And Bono's like, yeah. This is surreal.
And you dribbled spit into his eye.
Yes! It was great. They gave us like one of the magic seats where Spider-Man actually shows up during the show. So he's like in our box seat, and he has to prep it. So Jana and I are just sitting there, and suddenly Spider-Man walks into our booth, sits down on a chair, kicks his feet up on the ledge, holds up a playbill, and goes, "So, what are we watching? Jersey Boys?"
Oh,
it was
Spidey!
Awesome.
Classic Spidey
awesome.
Banter.
Yeah.
Great night, and I love the show since they fixed it.
I saw the original.
Oh, the original is...
I almost lost my relationship because of that. And look at me. It's not like I can get another one. it was... No, because I remember for my birthday, I was like, we're going to go see Spider-Man, right? We're going to go see... And I went on this whole speech about, like, if I didn't live in New York, all I would say is I need to be in New York and see Spider-Man. And she's like, I got a surprise for you. I'm like, it's Spider-Man tickets, right? Because it better be. And... It was, and the only thing that came out of it was I got her Book of Mormon preview tickets as an apology to save the relationship. When that thing was the ugly pageant. Oh,
it's gone. That's gone from the show. It's gone. That's gone. The geek chorus is gone. Oh. Tons of stuff. The stuff that's still there.
There's just a guy named Spider-Man. Yeah. There was a 2 minute. There's a scene where he wrestles with a blow up doll for two minutes.
That is still there.
Okay.
But they make fun of it while they're doing it.
Okay.
Okay.
But, you know, do they know they can cut it?
Yeah. No, that blow up doll's in the union.
Deflate it, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yeah. When I first saw it, we had a Marvel retreat, and I had tickets to go see it 2 weeks later. And Joe Quesada comes in and goes, hey, who wants to go see? We got a row of tickets. So I went to see it. For when I saw it, I have, like, Jason Aaron sitting here. I got Kieran Gillen sitting here.
Wow.
Matt Fraction. Quesada and Bendis were up one row, and in front of them was Joan Rivers. It was very weird.
That was Quesada's date. Right?
Yeah. But there's a moment where, like, different moments where Spider-Man or Green Goblin lands in the audience, like, lands in the aisles. And it's really stunning. And you can see, like, everyone going, oh, and Joan Rivers does it, and her face didn't move. It was really freaky.
She's the chameleon.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned the Marvel retreat, not to get on for the Spider-Man.
Next week.
That's next week. What's on the docket for you?
When AVX and Spider-Man 700 are over, you're going to be looking at a very different Marvel universe. Not a reboot. Not a reboot.
Can I ask you, do you ever get tired of saying that?
No.
Like, after this, everything is changed.
No, this is
you just get digs. We're going to give you 52 reasons why you should stay with Marvel.
There's going to be a very seismic shift at Marvel, and I can't really talk about it, but we're all very excited about it, and watching is everything, you know. And
more hammers.
Everyone gets a hammer.
All zero issues.
Spider-Man, if I had a hammer.
It's the stuff that's coming up is very exciting. I haven't seen people at these retreats this energized in a long time because the changes are so big. There's certain things that you can see are coming. For example, Brian Michael Bendis has announced he's leaving Avengers. Jonathan Hickman has announced that he's wrapping up on Fantastic Four. Matt Fraction has announced that he's wrapping up on Iron Man. You can see that things are happening.
Yeah. They're all moving in together.
Yes.
About time.
Yes. Yeah. Bendis puts a line down the floor.
But all you're getting together for great that power pack.
But are you planning on staying on Amazing Spider-Man?
Oh.
For those on the podcast, he just died. Yes, I fell over dead.
Yeah. Well, that was a really muted reaction.
He's living comfortably off those Mr. Negative Mini Mates residuals. So.
It sounds like they're all going to start Image 2.
They better come up with a better name.
We're all moving into Paulo Rivera's apartment.
Nice. It's called the No Neil Gaiman's Club. No.
All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Stack.
Yeah! Woo!
All right. In the Stack, we have each made a pick, some comic book we particularly like, and we're going to go to bat for it. First one is Pete's pick, which is Fantastic Four 607.
Yeah!
From Marvel Comics. Now, Pete, I was pretty floored that this was your pick, just because you never picked this. What did you like about this book?
Well, thank you for that intro music.
A little flute to introduce Pete's opinion.
That's a little... I wrote that song. It's called Pete's Theme from Pete.
Yeah. Wow. That's really very creative of you.
Love Theme from Pete.
Pete the Musical, Turn On the Dark.
This was a really awesome issue. Fantastic Four hasn't been, like, one of my favorites, but this issue really kind of got me started. I'm a big fan of Black Panther. But what I liked about this was it was really funny, like, to me, the tension of, like, Fantastic Four, Mr. Fantastic walks in, and then Black Panther's like, oh, you brought your kids?
Yeah, they were having like an adult weekend.
Yeah, it was like, it's like, oh, this was just hilarious.
For those of you who didn't read it, Black Panther invited the adults in the Fantastic Four over for a nude sunbathing weekend, and they brought along the kids.
So
real
Wakanda,
awkward.
Which is a suite, it's like a it's hedonism great. 3.
But when are they going to do a storyline called Hotel Wakanda?
Yeah.
It's got to be coming soon.
But what I really liked about this was it was this awkward moment, and you're like, what? And then as the story goes on, it was such a great kind of reveal. And then you're like, oh, shit is getting serious. And then you see what he wanted and what his plan was. And I'm very excited for what's going to happen.
Should we elaborate on that at all? Or
sure.
Is that sort of,
yeah, go for it. Elaborate more than shit got real and stuff happened?
Yeah.
Guys, I was pretty clear.
Yeah, that's good. You certainly didn't spoil anything. I was saying last week how, like, because they're going to be making a Black Panther movie. And I was like, name, like, a good, iconic Black Panther story that you would want to see turned into a movie. And
which,
like,
was kind of upsetting because there's been a bunch of great Black Panther stuff.
Yeah, but I just didn't – none of them come to mind. And I thought this was actually a really good Black Panther story, a really good, like, origin sort
so
of
thing. So
this
is going to be the Black Panther
yeah.
movie.
If I have anything to do with it, and that me and that Hollywood producer over there who's crying right now. What? Is everything all right with you?
it Fantastic like, Four.
Everyone's first arc on a Black Panther run is always
their pitch for a Black Panther movie. It feels like with like Hudlin or you know, Hudlin's Jason Aaron.
Ron was
like the whole history of Wakanda is really fascinating. It's just it's you got to be careful with stuff like his name is Claw because he has a claw. Like that's where you got to be a little careful. But
Dan, have you ever written a Black Panther story? Any thoughts about a Black Panther movie?
No.
Well,
great stuff.
Cool.
Anyway, I like this. It's setting up like it's a whole new arc. I love the Fantastic Four's kids and then all their little crew there. So
yeah,
bring
I think this
everywhere.
Is great. I weirdly, Jonathan Hickman had this mega story that he was building up to with the Fantastic Four for most of his first year or two. That I felt like it was a little too technical and a little too cold. But
what?
Since he's gotten past, it was good. But I just wasn't.
I love Solved Everything. I thought it was one of the best read stories ever.
The minute when Franklin calls Galactus was just like, that was crazy.
For those of you who don't know, Reed Richards went to an alternate universe where there are Reed Richards from a ton of different alternate universes, and they all got together and tried to solve all the problems in all the different universes.
Right?
And then a bunch of Celestials went mad, so Valeria had to go to Doctor Doom and get him, and then he joined the team and they helped him out. Franklin went into the future. Future Franklin came back in time.
I just got to say, this is what's called getting lost in the reeds.
Yeah.
Oh! Dead sock just
Booth-man,
flew out of the
Booth-man,
ceiling.
Booth-man, it's Manhattan, and there are hammers everywhere. Just pick one up and hit them.
All right, this is a great book. Really good. Let's move on with Justin's pick, which was Scarlet Spider, number 6.
Awesome!
So explain yourself, Justin.
I'm Justin great Tyler. I'm sort of like a rogue.
That is the last word I would use to describe.
Yeah, I wear tiny T-shirts. Yeah. So
tiny shirts that don't fit.
Yeah, you're a rogue to T-shirts that fit.
Try working out more if you're going to do that.
Whoa.
I'm just trying to help.
Try working out more. When was the last time you walked past a gym?
Hey, I'm not trying to wear tiny T-shirts, though. I wear layers because I, you know.
What?
I can hide it.
Yeah.
To be fair.
This is therapy for you guys, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 5 years and it's still not working.
Well, who knows? He would have murdered a group of people if we didn't do this show.
So where did Scarlet Pete Spider? Touch you? In the tiny T-shirt of my soul.
Yeah. I'm all tiny T-shirt at this point. So in this, Scarlet Spider is a book where Kane, who's a clone of Spider-Man, I have more to say, he's a clone of Spider-Man, and he's like, I'm a bad guy. I'm going to go to a different city. So he goes to Houston.
Which is where bad guys hang out.
Sometimes.
It is the best city to wear a full body costume and mask.
Yeah. Well, they even make a joke in this issue. They're like, you are going to regret that outfit choice come summer. And, like, that's really funny. And also in another issue, he's like, oh, I need to get to this base. And they're like, well, there are no buildings out there. Yeah. He's like, oh, shit. And then you see him riding on top of a car later, which is terribly embarrassing for a superhero.
Yost is killing it.
Yeah,
on this
super.
Book.
It's super well written. Anyway, this is like a. If you guys haven't read this, is a great jumping on point. The daughter of Kraven the Hunter is coming and tracking down Kane in his new city. He's got a great relationship with this girl, and then he.
I don't know if I'd say great relationship.
Why?
With this girl.
She's a rock star.
All right. Okay. So he gets a tattoo from this girl who's got a tattoo of herself on her arm. And they're
That's
just like, yo,
fine.
I got a tattoo and you got a tattoo.
Isn't that not
we should be in love. And then he goes.
That's not a bad goes, that's not a bad connection.
Wait, wait. but now you can tell Peter Parker and his clone apart. He's the one with the big ass tattoo.
Yeah. If I had a clone, like, one of us would be getting a tattoo.
Yeah, it's like that scene from The Office where Michael like takes the Sharpie and puts it dot.
Oh, that was a very funny episode. Yeah. But you didn't finish the story.
anyway, you like this book? Good
Great book.
Book.
No thoughts on it?
Yeah, no, it's good.
Oh.
All right, let's move on. This is my pick, Batman number 10 from DC.
Woo!
Oh,
boy.
Now, for Wonderful those of you moments. Who haven't been reading the book, Batman has been fighting this thing called the Court of Owls, which is a secret organization that's basically controlled Gotham City since the beginning of Gotham City. This issue, this is a big spoiler if you haven't read it, but this issue, it turns out the guy behind the Court of Owls
This is one of the biggest spoilers of the year. So if you have any desire to...
Yeah, seriously. May or may not be Batman's little brother.
Yeah.
Who turns out to have been controlling the whole thing.
Older brother.
Kills older brother.
Yeah, I think he's older. It's Thomas Wayne Jr., so that usually goes to the office.
No, no, no. But he was... Bruce was already born.
No, no.
He was in his mommy's tubby.
Thomas Wayne. You don't go, you'll be Bruce, and the next one will be Thomas Wayne.
Yeah. I don't know.
Unless works. You hate that. Also, he would have been going to the movies with them.
Yeah.
I don't know how this works. I just have a daughter, and she's named Spider-Man Jr. So.
Awesome! Spider-Man Jr.?
So I think we should start.
To get it.
I think we should start by saying Scott Snyder's doing an amazing job on Batman.
Yeah.
He is killing
Best
it. He's
book
been,
DC's doing.
Yeah. It's really amazing. And then his Batman Detective Comics before this was amazing. Yeah. What I'm worried about. Is I don't want this turned into a hush situation with the brother.
I thought you were going to say, I don't want this turned into a hustler situation.
Where they build up the Riddler and then don't do anything.
Where there's a bunch of naked women in
this
book.
It's
not just that. It's the Greg Capullo art is some of the best art at DC. This is the killer DC book to check out.
So I think Pete's point is pretty valid here,
I don't, like, I've loved all this stuff. Why make it a brother? Like, why?
Okay, for those of you who didn't read Batman Hush, that basically retconned a relationship where Bruce Wayne had this best friend, Tommy Elliot, growing up. Tommy Elliot turned out to be this bad guy called Hush, who's occasionally attacked him.
Why can't it just be? Why can't it be just a crazy guy?
It didn't really pan out very nicely. So
maybe it is a crazy guy claiming to be Tom.
Okay, right. See, I would be cool with that.
The way it's structured, though, is so good because it gets Batman to this point where he doesn't even want to say it. And the guy who am I?
Who say my name, bitch?
Yes, he's saying
he's
that.
Like, whoa,
I don't remember him saying bitch.
If you haven't read this yet, the Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo Batman, the hardcover's out. Yeah. I'm like a Marvel guy, and I'm telling you, pick this up.
Yeah.
The minute it starts, it's Batman on the bat cycle, jumping onto a moving train. You're like, oh, you're in. And the issue five where the
God, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Now, Dan, I saw you and Scott Snyder, you were chatting at the airport in Chicago, and you guys have become best friends on Twitter.
We are.
What are the chances of a Batman-Spider-Man crossover?
Not a chance in hell. I actually had a meeting last week at Marvel because there was a crossover I wanted to do with another company that wasn't DC, just in case it was just like a Marvel DC thing. And I was like, no. No crossovers.
Yeah.
Dead.
Now,
can't
you know,
talk about it. Dead.
Given that you and Scott Snyder would both want to do that, is it just...
Was it Spider-Man and Savage Dragon?
No.
Nah.
That was your one guess.
Nah.
we would love to do Batman. I've wanted to do like Batman, Spider-Man my whole life. I was never really happy with the two that Marvel did because they felt like products of their time and not timeless. Like, I really want my Batman... What?
It's hard to make something timeless.
No. But like with the way we did Spider-Man Human Torch, like it looked at every era. I would love to have like a Batman Spider-Man where you could play with all the different incarnations, see all the different stuff, play with all the different variations.
Would you do a 40s style thing and just
Spider-Man would be a fetus?
Yeah.
Like, no. But no, like, just try, like, different, you know, all these kinds of different mix-ups and match-ups with the villains would be great. You know, anyway.
What about an Uncle Ben and the Waynes crossover?
Yeah, they all go to see the same movie.
Yeah. They're like, oh, man, just finished my will. Let's go see a movie.
That's it for the stack.
Yay!
All right. Guys, it's time for our next section, which is my favorite section, because you guys make it up. It's your audience question. So for that, we're going to go over to Booth Man.
Booth Man!
And before we get to questions, Dan, I want you to pay special attention. Whichever your favorite question is,
okay,
is going to win a special prize.
Oh.
All right. But let's get the first question right now.
Anything about ducks?
What?
Don't lead the audience.
What's your favorite duck?
Donald.
The worst one to do a prequel to.
Worst one?
I think we should totally do like a prequel to James DeMatteis's Moon Shadow. I think there's a lot of stuff you could do if you're not that author, because that's what it's all about. No, I was thinking about this because the thing that's ticked me off the most about Before Watchmen, because I've taken my fair take of shots at it, and I think the Darwin Cook, the Minuteman, was a gorgeous book. But my take is, no matter how hypocritical it is of Alan Moore, that here he goes and he does stuff like Lost Girls and he does stuff like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen that use other people's characters. That aside, this is a living author who's made it very clear that this was a finite story and it's his desire not be reopened. So there's no denying that. This could be the greatest thing in the world. And I think, you know, the Amanda Conner artwork on Silk Spectre is gorgeous.
Amazing.
The Darwin Cook art on Minuteman is fantastic. But that aside, it's like, man, I wish I could have taken those creators and told similar stories with the Charlton characters. You know, right. Like, why not try to build over that instead of taking it? But I totally get why they're doing it, because we're all talking about it, and it's going to sell a ton. And there's that, you know, touching the third rail element to it. Like, they're doing Watchmen prequels, and
but
that's
but you're
doing.
Not supposed to do that.
Because yeah, it's like even if you read it, either it's really good and you're happy, or you're really angry. Either way, you're feeling something. You know what makes
that's
you
what
feel
it's all
anything
about.
Anymore?
Broken yeah. glass comics.
Yeah.
Well, with all that in mind, I think the series I would like to see is Before Silver Sable Got Horned.
She didn't get horned. She drowned horribly but heroically.
Oh, that's nice.
Any other picks? Any other prequels you would not want to see?
Prometheus. Topical.
Yeah. How about Before Walking Dead, where they're just like, you know, a bunch of guys.
There's some bunch of dudes yelling at each other with big southern accents.
It's Rick's wife just banging his best friend. 22 pages.
55 issues.
That's nice. Or just Herschel just working on the farm.
It's Herschel banging Rick's wife.
Herschel like, I better load this shotgun with 1,000 bullets.
He's like, if anyone was ever on my property, I would ask them to leave it a lot. I wouldn't do anything to get them away. I just asked them to leave.
Well, yeah. It would be, why one of many men?
Yeah,
great prequel.
I would do a bunch of guys. Sundays with Frank, and it's just Frank Castle and his family going to the park every week. They keep waiting for it, but it doesn't happen.
Another picnic, Frank? I don't know if we should go out.
And then you see something in the bush, you're like, what's that? Oh, it's a squirrel.
Yeah.
Let's go play tennis with Aunt May for 6 issues.
Yeah.
Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Boothman, let's get the next question.
Nice. Yeah. We'll be the judge.
Already is. Yeah. No, you can see
it's the professor, right?
Max Modell. It's mentioned in the two-part story, I Killed Tomorrow, where he brings, because it just comes up in conversation that the watch he has was a gift from his partner, Hector. And then we meet Hector a couple issues early. That's the way we wanted to do it in the comic. Just, he's a celebrity. Everyone in the world knows he's gay. It's just, it's never come up in the comic.
No, you need to issue a press release for this B character to be turned gay.
Yeah, but no.
So that everyone can really get on board with it.
There was a gay Hector in Hulk in the, what was the group, the Pantheon.
Yeah, and Rich Johnson.
It's a really gay name.
Rich Johnson did an entire article about how that was obviously the Hector we meant.
Yeah.
Bleeding cool accuracy.
Yeah.
That's a stoplight of puce.
What? Well, there you go. Raise your hand if you ask that. Let's get the next question, please.
I blame Fred Van Lente. A lot of times you come up with an idea and you seed it, and you're just like, ooh, and then this will pay off way down the line. And when I introduced the character Overdrive, I always knew there was going to be the story where he pimps out the Spider-Mobile and goes on a tear. And then Fred blew that bit in a two-page gag. Yeah, in one issue of that. And I was like, what? No, I was going to milk that for 22 pages.
Issue three of Spider-Man Human Torch is one of my favorite issues of a comic ever. Yeah, it's the best.
And that one, that story with the Spider-Mobile and the Super Apes and the Twinkies.
Oh, it's so good.
That was a last-minute change because we were always doing what's an element of Spider-Man's world, what's an element of the Fantastic Four's world, how do we mesh it? And that storyline was originally in the works was going to be Spider-Man in the Spider-Mobile, Johnny in the Impossible Man as a car having a drag race through the city.
Wow.
That was the original premise. And Tom Brevoort came to me and went, I've done the research. Impossible Man leaves Earth on these issues. He specifically does not come back until these issues. When Gwen dies and then they make the Spider-Mobile, Impossible Man is off Earth. You cannot tell that story.
You guys are all crazy about Impossible Man continuity,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of, though, it's right
but
in the name.
Multiple
Impossible Man.
This is the same editor that lets Bendis have Jigsaw have super strength for an issue. But yeah. When it's me, you know, but that's the way it works, is that I'm a continuity hound, so he kind of holds me to my own rules, which I think that's
a fair way to do it.
So I'm like, what the hell am I going to do? So I pitched the story with the Super Apes, and we're all happy, and we did it. And then after that issue comes out, someone points out that there's a Roger Stern story where he meets the Super Apes for the first time in the 80s, and then our story doesn't work. It's
Well, I don't like that issue anymore.
Oh.
Yeah. No, that's not true.
My opinion somehow changed over the course of that sentence.
Cool. Raise your hand if you asked that. Free comics. Next question.
But we will bring back the big wheel. The big wheel.
Nice.
Oh, your vehicular superhero.
Only one person should have clapped at that. That's perfect.
What was the big wheel's real name? Was it
Jackson Wheel?
Jackson Wheel.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I just forgot how I had sex.
There's a fight in your brain of all your comic book information, all the useful things.
The villain that the Rocket Racer or Spider-Man couldn't fight by themselves.
Jackson. There's some people that are just doomed by their name. Yeah. Let's name the child Edward Nigma. Your bone.
It used to be Eddie Nashton, and then they retconned
it. Oh, changed it.
Yeah, they retconned it.
Oh, what a bunch of dorks.
Let's get the next question. Yeah.
Oh, this one's for me.
All the Preacher comics.
Yeah.
Oh, your true life sad story. Eric Larson, when you get your split from your art, like, you know, the pen store gets this much, he made a point of never selling his artwork. He'd give some away as gifts, but he wanted to keep it all. And so he had this whole collection of everything Eric Larson had ever done that he'd gotten returned, kept it in his house. His house caught on fire, all gone.
Oh, man.
And a lot of his inkers and people as, like, gifts started gifting him old pages so he could have a collection. I know. But that's all nice. That Eric Larson art, gone.
That was in the early 90s. I remember that was during the Revenge of the Sinister Six storyline. He's like, guys, I'm sorry I was a little late on this issue, but my house just burned down. Yeah. And I was just like, but I want it now.
Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. And any other questions? Let's do lightning round. So first answer is always correct. Guest star.
Oh.
Cindy Crawford.
Very specific. I would say Kathy Ireland, but I guess Cindy Crawford's a good answer,
yeah,
too.
Either way, we're both Lou right.
Brian Michael Bendis as himself.
Oh. A nice. Great actor.
Me?
Next question.
I need the money.
Honest.
Great question, actually.
That is a good question.
I wish I had a better answer.
I steal it from somebody else, so I'm not going to give that away.
Oh, you're not going to give it away? You're defending the
well,
person
you're
stealing
from. Well, if they know
from.
About it, they'll hop on it. I can't give
that. Doesn't
the
work that way.
Wi-Fi network
pretty sure I know how this stuff works.
They would have to be at your house. Just
yeah.
So
it's the same number as my Social Security, so it's 6-7. Oh.
Belkin 54G.
Mine's called Pete, Stop Stealing My Wi-Fi.
Oh. Slam.
Cool. Let's get the next one.
Baghead.
Yeah,
I was going to say that sincere. I'll go with Spider-Man 2 only 99. It's a great costume.
Yay. Yeah, that's a
black costume, right?
Yeah, the back in black was my favorite.
I like the one with the robot arms that was gold.
That trailed off.
Cool. Next question.
Octo Spidey.
I think that one must be for you, Alex.
I think Dr. Y wrote that.
Yeah.
Next.
Yep. that was Freaky, the one written by Brian Michael Bendis that adapted his two-part storyline from Ultimate Spider-Man where Wolverine and Spider-Man switch brains.
What?
Yeah. The middle
it was
part
great.
Was, yeah.
Yeah,
the middle part was fun.
And what other cartoon is ever going to give you Mesmero? None.
It was pretty fun, though. There was some good moments that they had where Wolverine is crouched in the Spider-Man crouch, and then Wolverine in Spider-Man's brain is trying to use his webs and keeps slamming into buildings.
Flash Thompson picking on Peter Parker, but it's really Wolverine, so he just beats the crap out of Flash.
Yeah.
It's an awesome moment.
Fun stuff.
Every talking rodent.
Mighty Mouse, because he is the strongest.
Yep.
There you go. Yeah.
Yes. Cool. He's an alien now, though.
No, he's not. Shut your face. Shut right, your
we got
face.
More questions?
It's like he gave me my childhood, and then you took it back. Yeah.
Actually, for the first 2 years, we had it all mapped out from, like, the first time I had a meeting with Steve Wacker about taking over Big Time. But things have to change. Like, originally in Ends of the Earth, you were going to meet Venom, and it was going to be revealed after Ends of the Earth was over that it was Flash. So there's all kinds of things that you have to change.
2 years in advance you do your stuff?
I just turned in a thing to my editor.
What?
Which,
yeah, plan that sentence.
Did you just lose consciousness? What happened?
Which outlines the thing that I want to do with the stuff I'm doing for a year.
Okay, so one year in advance.
Yeah. Right.
For
how long have you ever planned anything in advance, Pete?
I've never done that.
Is it just a sheet of paper that says Spider-Man keeps winning?
Yeah. All right, one more question. Let's get it.
Wow.
Somebody's psychic.
Sure!
Yeah!
The answer changed!
All right, before we wrap up audience questions, Dan, what was your favorite question that was asked?
The one with the Battle of All the Rodents.
All right, who asked Battle of All the Rodents? Raise your hand. You are getting 50 comics.
You get 50 comics!
Whoa! Yeah.
Justin Tyler's personal collection. Good luck carrying that home.
It's more of a burden than anything.
Yeah, sorry about that. And that's it for your audience questions.
Woo! These have been sitting in my bedroom
for years.
Yeah,
so if you want the complete run of the Wild Pack, congratulations.
No, there's some comics in there. Can you believe these ever happened?
All right, guys,
I was very upset
we're
going to
move forward with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right,
Mr. Pete LePage.
This is the part where we get back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free dollars in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like a chance to win $25 free? Simply, you've already won the $25. No. Somebody else. Yes.
Don't
you.
Be greedy.
Casual guy. Yeah. Come on up here, sir. Yes. Grab that mic. What is your name, sir?
My name's Carl.
Carl, audience, audience, Carl.
Hey, nice.
All right. So in honor of Dan Slott being amazing, we're going to do Amazing Spider-Man as the trivia. Okay? And in honor of the 50 years of Spider-Man, the first couple of questions are going to be about the first issue of Amazing Spider-Man. So how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question. You listen to all three possible answers. Go three for three, and you win a gift card. All right, here we go. Question number one. Thank you, Boothman. All right. The first Amazing Spider-Man was published in 1963. Who was the villain tagged on the cover? Was it A, the Chameleon, B, the Green Goblin, or is it C, Heckle and Jekyll? So it's either A, which is what I would choose, or it's B, the Green Goblin. Pick A.
I'll go for A, then.
A is correct.
Really had to think about it.
Yep.
It certainly wasn't a
That's correct.
Great villains, though. Think
great villains, yep. Yeah. All right, question number two. What other superheroes were also on the cover? Was it A, Hulk, B, Fantastic Four, or C, Richard Dawson? Rest in peace. But he's a 60s superhero, all right?
Host of Family Feud.
Oh, God, I miss that guy. All right. Thank you. Is it A, Hulk, which doesn't make any sense because I said heroes, if you listened. Or is it... Oh, nice. Or is it B, Fantastic Four?
Sure, B, it's Fantastic Four.
Yes!
So casual in his answer.
Okay. Last question. Focus up. In a recent comic that Dan Slott wrote of Amazing Spider-Man, Spidey got romantic with who? Is it A, Silver Surfer, or a correlation of Silver Surfer, Simcarian Silver Surfer, to be specific, let's be specific, or is it B, Black Widow, or is the answer, ew, C, Spidey should only make out with Mary Jane, ever. So it's either A, which is Silver Surfer, which is who he did. Silver Sable.
Silver Sable.
Yeah, I'm glad you caught that.
I was so going to read that gun.
Yeah. Oh,
big
man,
reveal.
I didn't even realize. Didn't even realize.
Step onto my surfboard, Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah. Or is it... yeah. Oh. So it's A, Silver Sable. You won $25 free.
I didn't even answer that one.
Awesome.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
A lot of gay weddings happening over at Marvel.
Yeah, it's true. Not just because you make out with someone doesn't mean you're married.
Yeah.
That's what happened to me.
Yeah.
Seriously, Dan, you know, knock it off with Spidey making out with other people. You know what I mean? Okay.
Well, this just got weird and awkward. All right. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Oh, man, I'm looking forward to this little series. It's called Saga.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. It's really amazing. Check it out.
By Brian K. Vaughan.
Brian K. Vizon.
Cool.
What about you?
I'm looking forward to Walking Dead number 99.
99!
Setting up big 100th issue. I have a feeling a major character is going to die.
Yeah. What? No.
Yeah, it never happens in Walking Dead.
Spoiler alert, it's Ned Stark.
No. Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to Snarked is coming out tomorrow from Roger Langridge. I don't know if you guys have been reading this. It's an all-ages series that plays with the Lewis Carroll characters a little bit. It's really funny. It has ridiculous vaudeville comedy stuff in it, but it also has an incredible amount of heart. If you have never picked up the book, definitely pick it up. Yeah, you'd like it. You like hearts.
Yeah,
you like
I hearts. Need a, I eat hearts.
Cool. Mike, what are you looking forward to?
I love the new Daredevil. It's awesome.
Oh, it's great.
There
it's
you just, go.
It's fun. I like anything that reminds me of the 60s run. It's great stuff.
Cool. And plug your stuff. What should people check out?
I have a podcast called Nerd of Mouth that you could listen to.
Do you ever have a comedian guest on there?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, all the time.
How many times have you done the show? Oh, interesting. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
would, would, show?
Yeah, we'd love to do the show.
We?
Yeah.
I'm busy.
Yeah.
This is when he gives you the phone number that says 555.
Yeah.
call in.
Yeah.
Call in.
Call
yeah,
in.
Yeah, so I do that and the Mike Lawrence on Twitter, and I perform all the time if you want to hear Pace Pop Pete jokes.
There we go. Dan, what are you looking forward to?
I'm going to repeat the Pete. The Saga has just been one of the most amazing comics I've been reading. It's awesome. And to plug, we have the Lizard Arc, which it's really good, starting in 2 weeks. But this week, we actually have my favorite story we've done this year coming out in hardcover called I Killed Tomorrow. The hardcover is called Trouble on the Horizon. Comes out. Ooh, it's the closest thing I'm going to do to Spider-Man meets Doctor Who. So give it a read. There you go. That's coming out tomorrow.
Awesome. All right. Very cool. So check all that stuff out. A couple of things before we go. Next week, we have a huge show here at Fontana's. Yeah. We're going to have comedian Kurt Braunohler, who is hosting IFC's Bunk, in case you haven't checked it out. A great show. It's going to be here. Also, we're going to have Amanda Palmer is going to be here.
Oh.
And not only that, at the end of the show, Amanda Palmer's whole band is going to play a special free set for you guys.
Awesome.
So be there. Then, after that, coming up, we're going to be skipping a week on July 3rd for the July 4th holiday. We're very busy.
Celebrate the festivities.
The Spider-Man movie.
Yes, we're going to be watching the Spider-Man movie a bunch of times.
And my birthday.
The week after that, though, July 10th, we are going to be in California. We're going to be in Los Angeles at the Nerd Melt Theater doing a San Diego Comic-Con kickoff show with guest Jeff Johns.
Jeff Johns!
Whoa!
And then we're never coming home again.
Yep.
We should come home.
Yeah. No. We're going to go with this Hollywood producer, and then we're going to make it.
But we, after that, we will be back here with plenty more shows. So
okay. We'll be back here.
For people listening on the podcast, you should totally come here to Fontana's. They have a sit-down Galaga.
Yeah, and the biggest thing we promote for our show is the sit-down Galaga.
Sit-down Galaga.
Everyone who's been standing and playing Galaga, come here and sit down.
Yeah,
it's so much more relaxing.
There's one guy who's listening who's like, oh, my legs are tired. Yeah. I'll do that.
I'll be standing
what else should people check out?
A friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all the amazing guests that we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Mm-hmm. And check us out at comicbookclublive.com and also nerdist.com for all the podcasts. Couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Mike for being on the show.
Yeah.
Dan.
Boothman.
Thank everybody at Fontana's, Nerdist, Midtown Comics. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.